Brothers and sisters, good evening. May God bless you all. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the day has come. Amen. It's a double blessing for the Church of Santa Anita. Amen. What a great joy it is to have our beloved Sister Maria Luisa here with us this evening. Blessed is the name of our God. What our beloved sister has is that she loves God, and we need to receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. God says that He wants to give to those who seek, to those who ask. And here we are crying out to the Lord for Him to cover us with His infinite mercy. Amen. We're going to... Are you all joyful, brothers and sisters? Amen. I invite you to stand up. God likes for us to sing to Him. And that's why we're going to sing chorus 52, which is titled, We Are Thy... We Are Thy Children. That's why we need whose presence? God's. We're going to sing, we're going to applaud, but above all, let us open our lips. Let us praise this God who lives and rules over us forever and ever. And how many of you are feeling that fire in your heart? And if someone still has some doubt, we have the servant of the God Most High. We have our beloved sister Maria Luisa. What a great display of that love that God has for us. Glory to the name of the Lord. Let us sing one more chorus to now give way to the sermon for tonight. Chorus 125 titled, I Believe the Answer is on the Way. Let us sing to our God. Blessed is the name of the Lord forevermore. No one expected that after this pandemic, we would see our sister Maria Luisa once again. We didn't know when, brothers and sisters. And our sister showed us that valor, that bravery, when we were all at home with fear, feeling cowardly. She would go out with that love and show face for the church on Thursdays, on Sundays, and we were all hopeful, wondering what our sister would teach us next. And she taught alongside our worldwide head pastor that those who have God don't have a reason to fear. And thanks to God, here she is with us today. Let's welcome her with a warm round of applause. Blessed is the name of the Lord.
Muy buenas noches, very good evening, hermanos. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord bless you.
Pueden
you may
sentarse.
Be seated. A greeting also to the brothers and sisters upstairs. A greeting to you, my beloved brothers and sisters. During the pandemic, since I had a camera in front, there wasn't anyone. I was by myself in a hall, and I would preach to the camera, but I would imagine you behind the camera. I would imagine you sitting, I imagined you there listening to the sermon. That is why I always focused. My eyes would not turn away because I knew that it looked like we were looking at each other. Therefore, well, we give thanks to the Lord and we ought to give everything to the Lord and read the Bible. Sing to God, learn doctrine, to do God's will, which is the most important thing. And as we learn, we begin to, as we said in the beginning, we cleanse our heart, which is what God wants. But as human beings, we cannot do this on our own. God helps us to clean. He helps us so that our hearts may be clean. Therefore, we give thanks to our Lord for allowing us to press on and surviving, for being here after the pandemic where there were many deaths, many people that died. And the sad part was that they weren't able to celebrate their funeral, but they would enter hospitals and they would say their goodbyes. These scenes were very painful. Painful, and I had to pray for many people in the church who wrote to me saying that they were hospitalized, many brothers and sisters who were on the verge of death, but the Lord would speak and send them messages and told them that he was going to give them opportunities at life, and that is what happened. They would leave after being in intensive care for about 2 months. They would leave well because God would work the miracle. Therefore, there were many brothers and sisters who have to tell the story of what happened to them during the pandemic. Also, thanks be to the Lord, he kept me safe. Thanks be to the Lord. I would not use the masks because it's uncomfortable to speak in, and I was only in front of 10 or 12 people. The government in the United States, in Florida, they did not allow for more than 10 to be gathered in a place. And we were 12, sometimes 14. We were the only ones that were there, thinking that perhaps the police would come, but it never happened. And, well, asking God to keep us and protect us because it was an illness that came out of nowhere, and doctors and science could not figure out what it was about. It was beyond them. We held fast to God, trusting in him, and well, we are here once again. And the important thing is that the pandemic allowed people to reflect, and people came to a conclusion that we ought to follow God's way. I would also tell the brothers and sisters on live stream, I would tell them, that many people would watch the sermons that were given on Thursdays and Sundays. And the most beautiful thing is that there were many denominations where their leaders would give their sermons as well to their groups. And we would surpass the number of views, the number of people. And we saw how there were leaders from different Christian denominations that say to be the first in the world, that say that they are the biggest churches in the world. But during the pandemic, we saw that they were the smallest and we were the biggest, because they, while they had 200 people, 200 views on the internet, we would have 60 or 70,000. And also, many heads of denominations, many leaders, they would tune in to the sermons. They would watch the sermons because they said that they wanted to learn in order to teach their congregations. Therefore, we had many people that were there faithfully every week watching the sermons because they loved it. They said that the sermons were beautiful, that we truly speak about God and that we truly know the doctrine. And no one ever put down anything, but all of the Muslim and Jewish leaders listened to the sermons and they said that God was with us, that God was in this place, and that the doctrine that was being taught was the true doctrine. They did not see any mistake. They did not see any lie in the doctrine that we were teaching. And thanks be to God, because truly the one who gives the doctrine is the Lord. I lend myself so that the Lord may transmit that teaching through me, just as, how would it be, a transmitter? I don't think a receptor, but a transmitter. Yeah, so I was the transmitter. God gives me, and brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that the pandemic was so beautiful. My spiritual life grew more during the pandemic because the Lord began to use me to give me everything. I did not have to prepare anything. I just prepared the book and the chapter. I would see how many verses the chapter had to fill in the time, and that's it. Everything else, I did not know what I was going to speak about, what I was going to teach, what I was going to say. God gives everything. God gives everything in the moment. And so people say, no, that woman is so intelligent. That's what they would say. People would say, who were not from church, those who would listen to the sermon, they would say, I like to listen to that lady because that lady knows a lot. She's very intelligent. No, I would thank them for all of their praises, but that's God. That is God who gives me the teaching. God was with me the entire time, giving me the teaching, teaching me different details that in a way are written in those verses, and God would give me the words to change the ones that were written and to give them in a way that was easier to understand. And the Lord would reveal this to me and would say, this happened because of this and that. And then I would tell you all that because of this and that, these things happened. And perhaps the brothers would think to themselves, the sister has a different Bible, because sometimes it seems as if she changes what the verses say. God has been giving me this. God has always been with me and helping me in giving these sermons that I'm even astonished afterward, because they tell me that I said this or that, but I do not remember or I do not realize it. And I listen to pieces of what I speak or say, and truly, it is God who speaks, because in my human ability, I would not be able to say this. And I want to tell you that the pandemic was a great blessing. Many people have come to church. Many people have come to church in Colombia, in the United States, in Europe. Many people, new people that during the pandemic were listening to the sermons. Today, they are with us in the churches. That is the beautiful thing, and I believe that here in Mexico, This has surely happened as well. Very well. My niece Andrea said that they instilled in her to love Mexico because of her mother and her aunts. And just as she said, right, with music and the soap operas and the old movies, like the Cantinflas movies and La Angel Maria. Well, that was what our children would see with us. And so they grew up with the old Mexican culture. And then, of course, I wanted to know Mexico. And God, since I was curious, said, since she wants to know Mexico so badly, I am going to put a Mexican man in her path. And so, well, here we are. I am very happy. I'm very joyful. That was my knowledge of Mexico, the food, the culture, and music. I knew more about Mexico than he did. Very well. We give thanks to our Lord for all of these marvels that God has done. We give thanks to God for everything that happened during the pandemic. He saved many. And we continue here. These places are temporary. Everything passes. So let us wait the great blessing from our God later on, hoping that it grows and that the Lord may allow for the Church of Mexico to have its own properties, just as the churches in other countries have their own properties. And I know that later on, he is going to give something better, better, better. Let us open up our Bibles. We are going to open up our Bibles quickly here in chapter 9 of 1 Kings. In chapter 9 of 1 Kings, we are going to read from verse 1 to verse 9 about an inauguration or an order, a promise that God made King Solomon. When King Solomon decided to build the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. Before this, God spoke to Solomon through dreams. How beautiful it is. That is why today we preach that God speaks through dreams as well. God speaks through visions, through prophecy, and we are hoping that God help us to change so that we may be perfect before him, that he may help us. So here, Solomon had these experiences with the Lord. And it says in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass when Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord." So he finished building the temple. He made a beautiful temple filled with riches, filled with glory. That temple that Solomon built, the only temple that the people of Israel enjoyed was Solomon's temple, because before that, there was the tabernacle of the Lord that Moses built, and that tabernacle needed to be built and to be taken down or disassembled. And the people would walk into different cities and different places. They would disassemble the tabernacle, carry it, and when they got to a specific place to abide for some time, they would build the tabernacle again, and that is where they would worship God. But when King David came, God gave him the order to build a temple in the city of Jerusalem, and God allowed Solomon to be the one to build it. Solomon's temple was majestic, with a lot of gold and precious stones, the best wood, linen and animal skin. Everything was of the best quality. And that temple was built. And that was the only temple built, because afterward it was destroyed with Babylon, with the king of Babylon. That temple was set on fire. And then they were taken to Babylon, captive for 70 years. Then they return. And Zerubbabel and Shealtiel built another temple. But it was a poor temple because there was no money. There was no financial means in order to build a temple like Solomon did. They made a very simple temple, and that is how 430 years went by until the Lord Jesus Christ came. When the Lord Jesus came, there was a temple that Herod made, but it was also a very simple temple. So Solomon's temple was the most magnificent one. And God, we're going to... What did God say to Solomon? And what was that privilege that he had when God used him to build the majestic temple? That is why he says, when Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desire, which he wanted to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time. It says here, second time, as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. And he appeared to him in dreams. Look at that value of a dream. Sometimes you say a dream is a fantasy, but when it is a revelation from God, it is something beautiful, like the dream that I had when I was about 7 or 8 years old. And I dreamt that the Lord said, help me choose souls for the kingdom. How was I going to forget that? And today I see that fulfilled. And so what a wonderful dream. That is why we must not look down upon those dreams. When God gives us those revelations in dreams, we ought to have them in mind. And here in verse 3, if you can help me read, you may read verse number 3. So how beautiful this promise that God made Solomon when he says that that house that he made, God says, I am going to be there. My eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. That perpetually, we see how that temple was symbolizing the house or the tabernacle that the Lord Jesus Christ would be building for our God. That building, that house, or that tabernacle, which is the heart of a believer that dedicates themselves to God 100% and serves him, that is the tabernacle of the Lord. And God says, my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually, forever. We see that the physical temple, God was speaking to Solomon about these things, but he wasn't talking about that physical temple because that temple was destroyed centuries after. Yet the spiritual one, which is us, we include ourselves. That is our hope, that we may be a tabernacle of God, the house of God, that temple that Solomon built that symbolizes the temple that we ought to be now for God, our heart. That is that temple. So he said, my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. That is God's promise. That is why we ought to fight to be worthy and deserving of being that temple of God. Verse 4 says, now if you walk before me as your father, God says to Solomon, as your father David walked in integrity of heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, in other words, fulfilling the commandments, not committing sin, turning away from all that is evil, he says, if you keep my statutes and my judgments, verse 5, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, as I promised David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. Verse 5 is also symbolic. It represents something. Because the Lord told him, I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, and truly, the king that we have now is our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ came from David. He came from this kingdom that he gave David. He gave Solomon. That is where the Lord Jesus Christ came from. He is our king. That is why verse 5 is also being fulfilled. Although Solomon at that time did not understand, did not comprehend, because he thought that God was speaking literally about that physical temple that he had built, God was speaking about the spiritual things, about a future, speaking about Jesus Christ and the gospel. That is why he says, I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, just as he promised David, as I promised David your father. You shall not fail to have a man, of course, because our Lord Jesus Christ is that man. And in verse 6, if you may read, how sad, he says, if you go and worship other gods, a statue, a painting, well, gods of different shapes, of clay, gods of gold, gods of wood, idols, and beings, like what the world began to do. The world began to do this since Adam and Eve. The devil corrupted people's hearts and taught them idolatry, taught them to go and worship and believe in other gods, in demons, to believe in the dead. Well, all of these things come from antiquity. And in this way, the devil stole peace from humanity. But God was always fighting, creating a people, teaching them the commandments, teaching them the way. And yet the people would go on for some time, but then they would fall again, turn back, and they once again disobeyed the Lord, serving foreign gods and worshiping them. That has always happened in the history of humankind. And today, now that we have the wonderful gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, it happens as well. The Lord is using us in order to rescue souls and take them out of that darkness, out of that ignorance, and to keep them from worshiping foreign gods, worshiping what is not correct. Because humankind continues, generations continue, and they pass down their customs, their cultures, their teachings. They pass it down from generation to generation. And so what a fight has the children of God had and will have, the believers of God, fighting to convince people that we ought to believe in a living God, an invisible God, in a God, a supernatural being. How difficult is all this? But we are in this situation, what the people of antiquity were. And the people who were there, the early church, the apostles, were fighting and evangelizing, and the Holy Spirit always helping those preachers, helping so that the word of the Lord may spread and people may come out of ignorance, and all of those may achieve doing the will of God, that we may all do the will of God, because it wasn't just for Solomon that if he fulfilled the commandments and to be careful in serving those foreign gods and much less to worship them, because God would bring punishment to all that they would do. And look at the punishment in verse 7 at that time. Then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them. And this house, which I have consecrated, in other words, that temple, that majestic and splendorous temple, he says, this house which I have consecrated for my name, I will cast out of my sight. Israel will be a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And all of this was fulfilled because at that time the people failed God and they went after idolatry. And that is what happened. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came preaching the gospel, he found that people were without God and without hope. Yet we are going to continue reading. It says here, in verse 8, it says, and as for this house, which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and will hiss and say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and to this house? God here was already speaking or prophesying to Solomon, saying, look at what you are going to do within a few hundred years, within a few centuries from now. You will go after idolatry. You will go after sin and evil. And so I will punish. And this house, this palace that you have made, that is so splendorous, will be destroyed and will be mocked. And that is what happened. This verse 8 was fulfilled. if we continue to read the history in Kings and Chronicles, we are going to find the end of the story of this temple. And we will see how Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, with his army, came to Jerusalem, destroyed it, set it on fire, and destroyed this marvelous temple. They stole everything that was valuable, and they took it to Babylon. And the word of the Lord was fulfilled that said that they would be a proverb and a byword, and all the nations that will pass by will see the rubble and say, look at this palace, look at this great house that Solomon built. Didn't they feel so proud of their God? And they felt so proud of this city of Jerusalem and this majestic temple. Look at it now in ruins. It is rubble because it was set on fire. So this was the word of the Lord fulfilled, what he told Solomon. In verse 9, he says, God told Solomon, then they will answer because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have embraced other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, the Lord has brought all this calamity on them. These two verses were fulfilled many centuries after, word for word as God spoke it. That is why today God speaks to us. God speaks to us today. He makes us many promises. And he promises and says, I will bless you. I will do this with you, and I will do that and the other. I will bless you and you will be important. Well, many things. But God says, but you ought to press on. You ought to be steadfast and certain in this path and not turn away. In this moment, in this era that we live in, we have come from a religion or a world of idolatry. And so God has taken us out and has shown us his true way, a spiritual one. And the Lord now, to us, is not going to say that we are going to fall in idolatry because we are not going to turn back in that aspect. We are not going to fall into idolatry, but we are going to fall in other sins, in many other sins that exist. So God, when he makes us promises, and if we do not follow God's parameters by obeying what he wants, which is to not turn away from his commandments, to fulfill his commandments or his word, to turn away from sin with God's help, with our willingness, we will achieve it. But if we do not do this, God leaves us alone and also sends a punishment to our personal life. At the time, he would punish the entire people of Judah and Jerusalem. Nowadays, God punishes each person, whomever he makes promises to and blesses. And if the person has experiences with God, spiritual experiences, and is a witness that God has blessed him very much in his life, and the person ends up turning back or continues to commit sin, then God begins to punish each person individually. Nowadays, we are not going to have a mass punishment as he used to do with the people of Israel, but it is with the person individually. That is why today we are fighting. We are constantly teaching that each one of us ought to be steadfast and that each one of us ought to pay very close attention to the doctrine, that we may be careful so that our enemy, the enemy that we have, may not come to place traps and temptation in our life to make us commit sin and for us to lose our blessings. That is our fight. Our fight is every day of our life, because the Bible says that the devil is like a roaring lion, looking to see who he will devour. He's around us, seeing if he can destroy our spiritual lives. That is why we see how God, with his promises that he made Solomon, God was very happy because Solomon built a temple, but the Lord knew that in the future that it wasn't going to have any value because the people would fail. Today, in the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ was the one who built this church. He has been building his church He left for us apostles. There are disciples. The Holy Spirit is there. The gifts are within the believers as well, because the Lord Jesus Christ is building his church. How beautiful it is. And that is a great help for us. We are not alone as human beings fighting for salvation, as the people of Israel had to do. They had to fight as humans by themselves without the help of the Holy Spirit. We today have the help of the Holy Spirit. That is why we cannot miss this. He helps lead and guide us. And when I speak about the Holy Spirit, I don't speak so much about the baptism with the Holy Spirit or to speak in tongues, but that the Spirit of God is the one that is ruling over our hearts. He rules over our mindset, and he helps us to remove all sinful appetite or sinful weaknesses of our flesh. Therefore, we must always make the most of this with our hearts set to God to serve him, so that we may be that majestic temple that Solomon built, that we may be a temple built with gold and precious stones, with the best linen, the best wood, but everything spiritually speaking, because the Lord tells us that he is going to dress us with royal garments, with precious stones, not physically. Everything is spiritual. And one day he is going to make us sit on thrones that are covered in precious stones. That is why he says that we ought to follow and to be courageous and steadfast in this way. Therefore, that is a fight. Many people do not understand or comprehend this, but we ought to fight and to press on, because little by little, we understand, we comprehend, we mature, and then God, to each person, he will be cleansing them and he will be helping them, so that we may attain that perfection that he wants before our death. Therefore, we ought to attain this, and that must be our fight. For this evening, brothers and sisters, we are very happy because we are having this gathering here for the first time in this place, and I hope from now on, I believe many people will come and they won't fit. So we will have to add on another time to the services. Either way, brothers and sisters, from the people who attend this section, which used to be in La Viga, I believe it was called. How many brothers and sisters would attend La Viga? How many? Everyone is raising their hand, right? Very well. Almost everyone. And on the second floor, I suppose there are many brothers and sisters who would attend La Viga. Therefore, brothers and sisters, press on. Make the most of this place, of this hall. It's very beautiful. And I suppose upstairs as well, I'm going to see later. And let us worship God, let us glorify the Lord, and we give thanks to God for his benefits and overall the privilege that he has given us of God looking upon us, just as here he told Solomon, my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. That is what the Lord would say about that house. And so I believe that the Lord has a sight upon us as well. God's heart is with us, and we give thanks to God for this. It is a great privilege. This is a great privilege. And I think that there is time for about four people to perhaps give a testimony during the pandemic or a question of the Bible. Yes, sister.
Good evening, sister. I'm very excited. It's a promise of the Lord. In December, he gave me prophecy and he said that I was going to be before you asking you a question. And I'm a bit nervous. My question is from the Bible, in Proverbs 20, verse 14. It is good for nothing, cries the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasts. Forgive me, sister, I don't understand.
Here in Proverbs, we find many reasonings, many sayings, parables from daily life. From people's daily lives, good things and bad things. Let's say the good things that people do and the bad things that people do. What they think, what we see, And so the person who wrote the Proverbs began to observe and to see the people's to and fro, the way they express themselves, how they act, their ambitions, their work, their wishes, all of these things. And that is why they are a type of reasoning and they reflect upon life. And here in verse 14 is one of them. And so he saw that there was someone who went to go buy something or to go and buy a house or to go and buy a specific quantity of animals, of livestock, because at that time, usually businesses revolved around livestock, buying sheep, buying cows and oxes. So people would go and buy. And you notice that when someone is going to go buy, they begin to ask for discounts. They begin to haggle. And so they say 100. They say, no, give it to me at 30. And they say, no, 100, no, 30. And then I'll lower it to 90. No, I only have 30. If not, I'm leaving. And they go. And so the person who wants to sell, they call him and say, let's negotiate. How about we do 50? Let's do 50. And people do these things. And so the person who is buying, they are always sorrowful, telling the person who is selling, no, that is too expensive. And they start to see the flaws in everything that they're going to buy. If it's an animal, no, they're old. That is too skinny. That is going to die soon. That is not going to profit me anything. And they see all the flaws. If they're going to buy a horse, they say that they even look into the horse's mouth. So they say, this horse is too old. It's not good for me. So the person who sells ends up selling the animal very cheap, with a very cheap price. And the buyer became the person who saw everything with a flaw. But once they do business and he leaves, he says, I duped him, someone might say commonly. I deceived him because look, this has been the best purchase I've made. And at this price, I got it at half because I convinced him. I am very good at negotiating. I am very good at negotiating. That is what they're saying. That is what people do. That is what people do. When they go buy, they look at the flaws on things. They say, leave it at a cheap price. And when they turn around, they say, I bought the best that there was. That was a good purchase. This is what this means. That a buyer cries, it is good for nothing. But when he has gone his way, then he boasts, this was the best purchase.
Thank you very much.
In Proverbs, we learn so many things of our daily lives in order to live well before God. We read the Proverbs and we choose the best things to proceed with in order to please God. But that which is unpleasant, we do not do it. So we read and we say, this I will do to please the Lord. This verse I will not do because that does not please the Lord. So I choose the best way to follow. That is what this is. Proverbs is like a university, like a school where we learn many things. Let us continue.
Sister Maria Luisa, good afternoon. I was longing for this day to come, and today I see God's promise being fulfilled. The Lord said that we were going to gather together in His church in the city of Mexico, and we were going to be seeing showers of blessing. That the church was to grow each day more and more, and we were going to be witnesses of it. And today we see the fulfillment of that promise. In the same way, Sister Maria Luisa, I want to highlight your immense work, teaching, and love for your neighbor. You never failed us because during the pandemic, we always had spiritual nourishment. May the God of glory fill you with many blessings. Sister, I have a question in the Bible. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2.
Yes.
It speaks about difficult times and people's attitudes. How to be lovers of oneself, lovers of money, proud, disobedient with parents. It says in chapter 3, verse 1, but know this, that in the last days, spiritless times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Sister, I want to emphasize in this section regarding the disobedience that we see in our youth. During Bible studies, you constantly have taught us that God demands and expects for you to be upright, to be obedient, to be good children, to follow the rules of their house. Nonetheless, we see the complete opposite today. The youth want to live within their own rules. They get home late. And we are in anguish because of the circumstances. Because we're constantly thinking that something bad can happen and it troubles us. Sister, I want to emphasize and concentrate on this aspect. If children do not want to follow the rules of their house and they want to live in disobedience, we've learned through doctrine that it's better to ask for them to abandon our home so that we're not in constant strife and arguments, and that it's best for them to live on their own with their rules, and God will be the one to bring them to His church in His own time. So my question is, what happens when our family are constantly judging us and tell us, aren't you going to church? And they see how our children behave, how they're causing problems and difficulties. We're judged because of the circumstances, and we're in that constant struggle. We want to live without any ties or bondages in our heart, without any grudges. But the enemy attacks us with our family in this way. How can we live in perfection with the Lord? Because we want to please Him and have His support when we work in church with spiritual gifts. May the Lord continue blessing you in great ways, and thank you for your visit.
Well, thank you, sister. As we said in the beginning, sister, we all have to fight in order to have a clean heart. If our heart is clean, God will be with us and He will support us. And He is going to support us at home with our children. Because I know parents who have lived a righteous life in the Lord, in church, seeking God with spiritual gifts, serving the Lord, and they had their children. And when their children were in their teenage years, they want to be independent, these parents began to suffer because of their behavior. Because some change their character once they reach their teenage years, they are influenced by their friends in university or college. And I have also seen that those parents hold on to God's promise. Also, because they have a good testimony, I have seen these parents' good testimony. At the end, God gives them the victory and helps them with their children, because they did not give in to anger. So their children are not irritable, or perhaps another word would be ill-tempered. Maybe there's another word for that, ill-tempered, bad-tempered, grumpy. I initially said irritable. It's about the same thing. And so parents who perhaps their heart is not in good standing with the Lord lower themselves to their level in terms of anger, in terms of irritability. And so they yell at each other. One yells, the other one yells as well. One insists and the other person gets hurt and they back down. But when parents truly have God in their heart, they have a clean heart, and they are praying to God for their children, for the Lord to help them submit themselves, because you have to ask God to submit youth and for them to have the fear of God and to come back on the right path. So that depends on the heart and lives of these parents as well. Parents are the one who educate at home. It is not school. It is not the educational institutions, but parents are the ones who have to educate their children to raise them under the fear of God and moral rules. But once they reach adolescence, some continue with their parents' teachings, others become rebellious. If those parents continue with a clean heart, pleasing God, know that they are not going to have problems with their children. No matter how rebellious they are, God will submit them. God speaks to them, gives them experiences. And one day they come and ask for forgiveness, or they change and they repent. That is what this is, sister. Let's say today there is psychology, sociology, and all these different paths that teach how to raise children, how to be parents, with theories. And we realize that no theory has worked. Theories do not work. Theories do not work because we're talking about human beings. Each human being is a world apart. They are individuals. They have their own personalities. And we have to think. There are evil spirits that exist. Those evil spirits go and live and abide with the person. So there is a spirit of foolishness or rebelliousness, and they possess the young man or the young woman. And they begin to do things in a disorderly manner and disrespect their parents and no longer obey. So the parents that have God, they immediately discover that they are evil spirits that are working in that home. That is what is happening. So that is why there is disorder. So they begin to pray and ask the Lord and to rebuke and speak to this man or woman, this young man or young woman, 16, 17, 20 years old. They speak to them kindly because these parents have a good heart and God is supporting them. So they speak to them and give them good advice, treats them with kindness, saying, do not do this, do not be self-indulgent. Why? Do not treat me this way. Do not yell because you have never seen me yell at you before. Why are you going to yell at me if I have never yelled at you? Do not yell at me. Calm down. And so in this way, they are going to pay attention. But brothers and sisters, parents, we need to have of God. If we do not have of God, then forget it. There is no solution in that family, in those children. There will be a division and there will be fights and arguments. Because I have also seen that parents, they level themselves with their children in their words. They threat them and they say, if you don't listen to me, you are going to be kicked out of the house. I will close the door. I will not feed you. I will not do this and I will not do that. When you should pray to God and ask the Lord, Lord, my children are out of my hands. Their education, their rearing, I am not able to. Help me. Help me with them because I cannot. I do not want to have problems with them. I do not want to be upset with them. I do not want to be involved in confrontation and yelling and threats. I do not want insults. I don't want this. Help me. And God comes in and helps. And in this way, but sister, if you analyze this situation, the root of the problem, and if you analyze this, and if parents level themselves to them, there will be no solution or comprehension. The best solution is to pray to the Lord and leave in God's hands the problem they are having with their children or their teens or this youth. And this way, you will not have a problem. Do not ask so much from them, but just pray to the Lord. Maybe the young man begins using drugs, or they come home late, or they spend the night somewhere else. And so you pray to God, God, give an experience to my son or daughter so that they may understand and comprehend and change, because I cannot control them. And God will say yes. I will help you because you make an effort seeking my face. You make an effort. You want to do my will. You want to please me. And that is why I'm going to reward you and I'm going to help your children. That is the only way, sister. There are no theories. Theories do not exist. There is no way that it's this way that you're going to raise your child. The only theory is that we walk with God. When I walk with God, everything is going to be solved. In my family, I have lived many problems, many difficulties with my grandchildren, with my nephews, with my nieces, and I have had to pray a lot to God, lay hands on them, and to this day, I have seen solutions to all of their problems, and I feel happy and joyful because God has listened to me, but because I make sure to please the Lord so that he supports me. So I am not going to argue with them, but I'm going to speak to them, lay hands, and do it this way. Because in all families, all these unpleasant things happen, and I am not exempt from this. My family is very big, and my family is so big, and I suffer a lot too. My grandchildren, my nieces, my nephews, and so all in foolishness and in the world. But I give thanks to God that everything is working. Why? Because God is supporting us here. And the laying on of hands is very important as well, to speak to them about God, to invite them to the church as well. Some might say, well, my children came to the church, but when they reached a certain age, they left. No, it doesn't matter. We have to continue to pray to the Lord and speak to them with love and kindness. And one day God will work the miracle and help us. God will help us, brothers and sisters. Truly, the only solution and the only theory is our God. Nothing else works in this world. That is impossible. Well, rules and theories, sometimes they help a little, but it doesn't change anyone's heart. The only one who can change a heart is God. And God also removes evil spirits, because spirits are what incites the young man or the young woman to do unpleasant things. That is the work of the enemy. No one sees him, but we do live that lash. Here, when the apostle speaks, he says, live righteously before the Lord, and you will see. Do not turn away from God, and you will see how everything will be solved. Everything will be solved. Let us continue. Yes, sister.
Good evening, Sister Maria Luisa. This is a promise that my Heavenly Father gave me, that I was going to be before your presence asking you a question. And it is of great joy, sister, to have you here in the country, in our country, in Mexico. Sister, my question is in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 14. It says,
may I read, sister? Ecclesiastes 7, yes.
Verse 14. Yes. It says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider, surely God has appointed the one as well as the other, so that man can find out nothing that will come after him. My question, so I don't understand here in 16, and in 16 it says, do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Destroy yourself. Do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? And there, that's my question.
This is purely advice as well. Ecclesiastes, just as Proverbs, they are the same. They are reasonings. They are things that human beings should do or not do, to think, reflect, analyze in their life, analyze their situation in order not to exaggerate, but to live moderately. To live in moderation and to not exaggerate so much one way or the other. So this advice that is given, they are the contrasts of life, the things that happen to human beings in life. There are many contrasts that happen. And you read 14. It says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. In other words, on the day of abundance, on the day that you are well, that you have a blessing, then enjoy it. Enjoy that day. enjoy not the day, but the opportunity that you have to enjoy, because it's not going to be every day. There are people who have day of having fun, of relaxing, of going on a trip, having food, happy moments. So you take advantage of those happy times, because maybe there will be a problem and this doesn't happen every day. So what he is saying is to enjoy the opportunity that you have in the moment. So if it's the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider it. So that means that it's the day of a tribulation or a difficulty. There is a point that sadness and sorrow has come into this person's life. A loved one passed away, was in an accident, they have an illness, so they're sad. And so the person needs to consider this, to have patience and to wait. They are in that tribulation, there is an illness or an accident, and so they have to receive everything in life with wisdom, with intelligence, but without letting go of God's hand, right? We can have moments of abundance in our lives. Thank you, God, because I'm enjoying of abundance. I'm enjoying of peace and joy. But the moment came where there is sorrow, a loved one passed away, or I was in an accident, or I have an illness. Look at how I am living. You will help me. So we depend on God in everything in our lives. And we ought to know how to confront things in the moment as they are. To confront all that is good, all that is bad as well, and to press on, to be steadfast, and to not stop believing in God or leaving God's way. That is what this is teaching. But you read here a few verses. Everything has its own meaning. So it says here in verse 15, it says, I have seen everything in my days of vanity. This writer, who was Solomon, who was inspired by God, he spoke all of these reasonings of life, of humankind. He says, I have seen everything in my days of vanity. There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs life in his wickedness. So there are people I have heard say, I don't know if you've heard it, but they say, only the good die young. And so this is what this means. There are righteous people and they perish for saying the truth, for preaching the truth. And so they died. They took their life because they were speaking the truth and righteousness. Not only do we see this in a religious aspect, but we also see this in the world. There are many political leaders that would do things the right way, good things, and others would be envious and then would take their life. That is what this says. There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man, the one who commits sin. They live many years. Those are the contrasts of life, and we ought to respect that. We must not say, no, those who are wicked are going to die quickly, and those who are righteous are going to have a long life. The good can die before the wicked, but our conclusion of these reasonings are to continue with God, whether it be with a long life or a short life. Let us walk with God and let us attain eternal life, which is the most important thing in this world. What other verse did the sister read? Verse 17, it says, do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? It's the same thing. People who do not know God, people who live in the way of evil, and they do many wicked things. People who do many wicked things in life, who steal, who rape, who kidnap, what could happen to that person? The law surely will get them and take them to jail, or they will receive the death penalty, right? So this is what this means. By being overly wicked, that's being foolish. Why are you going to die before your time? You're going to receive the death penalty because you did something. The person who shot many people that died, They judge them. You are foolish. Why did you do so many wicked things? Why were you moved by all of these thoughts that the enemy placed? Now they're going to take your life because there is death penalty for you. That is what the judges of the world say. So they are things that happen in life, and they want to teach us to be wise, to be intelligent, to be moderate, to not be fanatics, to not exaggerate, but to be moderate in everything. But firstly, to trust in God and to do God's will. Everything else that happens to the world, that will happen, and we will have the ability to confront or to resist any moment or similar situation that happens to people because we are with God. That is the important thing.
Amen.
Is there another verse?
No, thank you very much,
very
sister.
Very well, sister.
We love you in the
very
Lord.
Very well. I love reading Ecclesiastes. I love reading Proverbs because you learn so many things about life, things that we need to stop doing, things we need to leave behind, and things to follow. Around here, yes, sister?
Sister, good evening. I give thanks to God that He has allowed me to meet you in person. I came to know the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in the United States, and the Lord in prophecy told me that I was going to be able to travel and to see some of His houses. And it came to be, I went to Colombia and I saw four of His houses, and here in Mexico as well, I've also seen some of His houses. But I never imagined that I was going to meet you here in my home country. And my heart is overflowing with happiness, sister. Now, if you allow me, I have two questions in the Bible. In chapter 8 of Romans, verses 19 to 23, it says, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." Sister, for me it's a bit confusing in regards to what exactly is the creation and that we also groan
when
within
he talks
ourselves.
About creation. Yes, sister. When he talks about creation here, he is referring to the world, to people, and also, why not, the elements of the world as well. Everything that we see, those elements also suffer because of humankind's sin. The creation also suffers the consequences. We hear different governments on the news say that the earth is suffering. There is global warming. Ecology, people are not taking care of it. People are not taking care of vegetation. They are contaminating. And so people with their sin, with their way of thinking, they do not think about the good of nature and the elements. They are contaminating human beings and contaminating creation with their wickedness. And the children of God, in other words, the believers of the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are the ones who have to manifest themselves in the world to give a good teaching, to give a good example, and to teach peace, love, and order, mercy, commitment, and so many things that are needed in the world, that the children of God are the ones who we need to fulfill that duty in the world, to live a righteous way, to do things wholesomely, carefully, teaching that not only to human beings should we have mercy, and we ought to be honest and responsible with people, but also with animals and with vegetation, because people think that they are beings that have no life and they cannot reason, but God demands a better treatment for them. And humankind has become so corrupted that sin is what abounds. And he wants the children of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we who are the believers in Jesus Christ, the followers of the gospel, the responsibility has been given to us by God so that we may be that light, mirror, and testimony in the world for people in all aspects. This is what the apostle is teaching here, that the Holy Spirit wants for us to live that life and to be that light and good testimony and a good example in every aspect, and giving this to the people of the world who do not know God. That is what this is, sister. Let us go with the last question.
Good evening, sister. It's a great joy to greet you. Great pleasure for me to be able to ask you this question, which I hope it's one that's an intelligent question. Proverbs 4, from 7 to 9. And it says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory she will deliver to you. Sister Maria Luisa, my question is, how do we develop understanding in a spiritual
sense?
Wisdom.
Here it is speaking of wisdom.
Wisdom and understanding.
Because God gives understanding. God gives the understanding, but wisdom is to know how to do things well. How to do things well, how to think well, how to behave well in the right moment, to do an action or a work or a material thing in life, to do it well and perfect. That is called wisdom. And so one might say, give me wisdom to be able to speak. Give me wisdom to be able to teach. Give me wisdom to be able to do my job well, to behave well with people so that everyone may be satisfied with what I do. Give me wisdom to speak, to know how to express myself so that people may understand me. Give me wisdom for my behavior so that I may not be reckless and rush to speak or to offend someone or to do things that are unpleasant and people become angry with me, or that you may become angry with me. Give me wisdom for everything. Wisdom is to know how to do, say, or think everything that we need to do well. That is what this is. That is wisdom, sister.
Thank you very much, sister.
We must ask the Lord. We must ask God for wisdom. Wisdom for business and life, work, companies, in our life, personal life, in the small things. We need wisdom for everything. We need wisdom to do everything well, to think everything over well, and everything may come out well. So sometimes we do things foolishly and someone might say, you lack wisdom to have behaved that way. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that or spoken like that. You shouldn't have done these things. And so people then begin to question us and say, what a lack of wisdom. They did not know how to behave in that moment. They did not know how to think or how to ask. That is wisdom. We need wisdom for everything, and God is the one who is going to give it to us, and we learn. And if you want to acquire wisdom and knowledge in your life, read Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and there you will learn many things. Very well, let us stand. We are going to be praying. Blessed God, Holy Father, Almighty God, King of heaven, holy King, righteous King, merciful King, our powerful God, who provides all of the material blessings, all the spiritual things, our God who has patience with us, you are merciful with us. And you want, O Lord, for all of us to work in your evangelizing work. And therefore, we need many preachers, we need many pastors, many who teach your word, and we need many places, adequate places, to congregate people, because there are many people who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, hungry and thirsty for your word. Therefore, we ask that you may prepare all of us for teaching, for preaching, for evangelizing. And we also ask you, Lord, that you may give us and provide many places where we can congregate ourselves as a church, because many people need you. Many people need of you. Many people who are without God and without hope, suffering through illnesses, suffering the severity of sin, of the enemy, sadness, bitterness, helplessness, the lack of food, the lack of money, the lack of jobs, the lack of blessings, the lack of salvation, of happiness. They are lacking many things, and they need, O Lord, for your way, your truth, your name to be preached, your word, so that you, my Lord, may be light, comfort for many hearts, so that you may heal people, so that you may have mercy upon those who suffer, who cry, who need. Holy Father, help us so that we may serve you, to work in your vineyard, to serve you, O Lord, to speak, to preach your word, and also to lay hands, to pray for those who are in need. Help us, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for what you give us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that your Holy Spirit may descend with power in our lives, in our hearts, that you may send the fire from on high, the power from on high, and fill us with your power. Fill us, O Lord, with your power. Prepare us. Revive that fire within us. And help us and cleanse us, deliver us, O Holy Father. Break the chains and binds. Take away the trap, curses, witchcraft. And this evening, I also ask that you may extend your healing hand. Remove illnesses. Remove all witchcraft, all curses. Keep and protect the brothers and sisters, all of those who have come here. Protect them from evil. Put in their heart happiness and joy to press on. Give them happiness and peace. Put on them your grace. Send your Holy Spirit, baptized with the power of your Spirit. Give them spiritual gifts, my Lord. Give them happiness in their heart. Give them peace. Remove traps, remove binds, break chains, break ties. Destroy envy of the enemy. Destroy the evil works. Break chains and revive your church. Remove all spiritual coldness. Give us joy, joy and spiritual happiness. Blessed is the Lord, powerful is the Lord. You are great and righteous. You are power. You are mercy and truth. Thank you, Lord. The worship is yours. The honor is yours. The glory is yours. Blessed God, powerful God, revive us. Forgive our foolishness. Forgive our weaknesses, our binds. Deliver us. Cleanse us. You are great and righteous, my Lord. Thank you, Lord. Each day, O Lord, each day we ought to praise you. Each day we ought to worship you, glorify and honor your name, because you are great. Hallelujah. Great is the Lord. Great is my Lord. Glory to your name. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God forever. Glory to the Almighty forever. Hallelujah. Powerful is the King. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy King, Righteous King. Your mercy endures forever. We praise you. Hallelujah. Chorus 169.
En la ciudad de nuestro Dios, en su monte santo, hermosa provincia, es el gozo de toda la tierra, es el monte de Sion a los lados del norte, la ciudad del gran rey. Es el monte de Sion a los lados del norte, la ciudad del gran rey. Grande es Jehová. Lados del norte, la ciudad del gran rey, es el monte de Sion, lados del norte, la ciudad del gran rey.
Blessed and praised is our God. Thanks to our Lord. Thanks to our God. Thank you all, brothers and sisters. May the Lord bless you all. See you soon, very soon, that the Lord may allow it very soon. Thank you, and may God bless you all. Thank you very much.